You'll take your Bibles today and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27 and verse number 17. The book of Proverbs, chapter 27 and verse number 17. Proverbs 27:17, title of the message, Iron Sharpeneth Iron, or the Power of Influence. Verse number 17, very brief verse, Iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the opportunity that we have to come and be in your house today. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless as we look to the Word of God and speak about some of the principles that are here included, that our hearts might be open and receptive, and that, Lord, you would help this time of study, help us to avoid maybe falling into some of the pitfalls that the devil would throw our way. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. From time to time, you'll hear somebody say something like this. So-and-so is a self-made man or a self-made person. I'd like to be so bold today as to say there really is no such thing as a self-made man. I understand that some have succeeded by much hard work and study, and that some have overcome great obstacles and hardships on their path to attaining a level of success or accomplishment. But remember this, that the very will to work, the ability to work and to think and to persevere are gifts that come to us from God. In the book of James chapter 1 and verse number 17, the Word of God says, every good and every perfect gift cometh from above. And I think additionally, each of us owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to parents or teachers, to mentors, to helpers, to those that have given us the tools to succeed along the way. It has been said additionally that everything good that we have become is by the grace of God and the good graces of others that we've met along the way. If we ever forget that, it's the mark of ingratitude and pride, and I think is a dangerous thing. The scripture tells us in Romans chapter 12, Paul is speaking, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of grace. Now our text shares with us a significant spiritual truth that's of great importance, and it dwells in the same realm. It dwells in the realm of influence that is brought to bear in our lives. What we've already spoken of is, by way of illustration, influence that is positive and has had the power, the influence of God, the influence of other individuals to give us the skills and the abilities that we need to succeed. But as we think about this text, we come to the realization that every single one of us has distinct tendencies, inclinations. We have distinct strengths and distinct weaknesses. We have points of character that are unique to us. And we have personality and we have gifts that are given to us by God in many respects, and some of the weaknesses and the flaws in character we come on our own behalf. And yet we understand that we have friends and close associates that we rub shoulders with every day. And these friends and associates also have tendencies and inclinations. They have strengths. They have points of weakness. They have points of character, personality, and lack of character. Some have special gifts. And when we come together in close association, this is what our text is speaking about. And we're together over a period of time, then iron will sharpen iron, and their gifts and their tendencies, strengths or weaknesses, points of character will sharpen and bring into focus and to the forefront those same traits that are in each of us. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, in that particular passage when it gives the Ten Commandments, the Lord makes this interesting statement. It says the sins of the fathers are visited unto the children sometimes to the third and fourth generation of them that believe not. Because also in that particular text, and it speaks about those that are faithful to God, and it's indicating to the thousandth generation, the influence of them is felt in the lives of people. And what the writer Moses there in Exodus is emphasizing to us, this very principle, I think, in part, that iron sharpeneth iron. We have those tendencies. And sometimes we're able to control them and to say no. We have those strengths, and sometimes we're able to bring those strengths out and those points of character. But sometimes we allow ourselves to associate and become close friends and associates with those who do not have a positive influence. And it can sharpen iron, and it can be an evil influence. And so I want us to see, first of all, as we consider our text here, iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The power of an evil influence. As we read the Word of God, there are a multitude of Old Testament examples that bear this truth out. And we do not have the time to look at all of them. I'll mention one and then in a little more detail deal with a second. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 13 verse number 25, we read of one of the sons of David, a young man by the name of Amnon. And we read of one of the daughters of David, a young lady by the name of Tamar. Now David had disobeyed God, and he had multiplied to himself wives, and Amnon and Tamar were half brother and half sister. And as we read the scripture, we discover the Bible says that, and I'm paraphrasing in part, that Amnon had a lust, a carnal lust after his sister Tamar. But in the circumstances and situations in which they live, he thought it hard to do anything to her. And the idea was, at this point, he did not have that encouragement to go ahead and sin against his sister, and sin against his father, and sin against the God of heaven. And he was restrained by the circumstances in which he lived. But the Bible says, but Amnon, and this is a direct quote, but Amnon had a friend. And Amnon's friend was a young man by the name of Jonadab. And the Bible's account of this man, an assessment of his character, is that Jonadab was very crafty. And he encouraged Amnon. And he said, you're the king's son. You can have anything you want. And here is a crafty design through which you can have your sister Tamar. The long and the short, without the sordid details, is that Amnon ravished his sister Tamar, defiled her, and then turned his back on her and disdained her. And the scripture says The hatred with which he had for her exceeded the love that he had for her in the very beginning. Now all that to point out this principle. Iron sharpeneth iron. And here was a young man by the name of Amnon who had some tremendous flaws in his character. He had a desire to do that which was evil, but yet that desire was restrained and contained until he came under the powerful influence of Jonadab, who encouraged him to do that which was evil, and he gave in and did it. One of the other outstanding examples of this in the Old Testament, and I think the most classic of all, is that of wicked King Ahab, and especially his wife Jezebel. Now the name Jezebel itself bears an aura of cruelty, debauchery, idolatry, and vanity. When I was a kid, anytime my sisters got a little heavy on the makeup or jewelry, my daddy would say, "What are you trying to do? Be a Jezebel?" And he'd get on their cases right readily. I have never in my life met anybody name a child, a daughter, Jezebel. Why? Because there is an aura about that name. And everything about that name speaks of her cruelty and her debauchery and the idolatry and the vanity that she had. Matter of fact, a brief commentary is given on her character in the Word of God. Jehu was the king of Judah who slew Jezebel finally. And he was commissioned of God. That was part of that commission. And his statement was, "Go see now this cursed woman." She was that kind of a person. Just wicked. 2 Kings 18 and verses 17 through 19. Just before Elijah goes up to Mount Carmel. And remember, he did spiritual battle with the 450 prophets of Baal. We learn earlier in that chapter, verses 17 through 19, that it was Jezebel who sponsored those 450 prophets of Baal, in addition, 400 prophets of the grove. At her table, on a daily basis, 850 idolatrous priests ate and fellowshipped at Jezebel's table. That gives us a bit of an indication of what kind of purpose a person she was. But for our purposes today, what I want to consider is what the Scripture has to say about Ahab, about Jezebel's influence. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 21, we read the story of Naboth's vineyard. And most of us are familiar with that story. Ahab went to Naboth after having seen his vineyard very close to the castle and says, "Hey, how about you selling me your vineyard?" And Naboth says, "I can't do it. That vineyard was given to me of God. By God, and I'll not destroy my heritage that was God's given." And Ahab was fiercely angry. And he went home in his anger and threw himself down on his bed and turned his face to the wall and refused to eat or drink and was there pouting and angry because he didn't get his way. And Jezebel came into his presence, and I'm paraphrasing a little on this, and said, "What's wrong with you? You're the king." And he told her the story, and she said, "Don't worry, I'll get it for you." And we read in that chapter how that Jezebel set up the whole scheme to have Naboth betrayed and accused of blasphemy. and taken out and stoned to death. That's the kind of cruel woman, wicked woman she was. But look with me, please. In the book of 1 Kings 21, 25. The first part of that verse says, "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord." Of all the kings of Israel up to that time, there was not a king that measured up to the wickedness of King Ahab. I mean, he was unprecedented in his cruelty, his ungodliness. He was determined to be ungodly in any way he could. But I didn't read the whole verse. Let me read the last phrase. "Whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up." Now, as we look at this particular account, particularly about Naboth's vineyard, we understand that Ahab was not a man particularly of strong character and godliness in the beginning. He was greedy. He was unconcerned about other people, selfish, and would go to no ends, but he was somewhat restrained. And it wasn't until he was stirred up by Jezebel that he was able to go the extra mile and take the vineyard that was Naboth's. The Bible gives us these examples of how iron sharpeneth iron and the power of an evil influence. We go on in chapter 22 of 1 Kings and verse 55 through 53. It speaks about the next king to take the throne. And Ahaziah the son of Ahab began to reign over Israel and Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat king of Judah. Verse 52, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat." Iron sharpeneth iron. And we look at the power, first of all, of an evil influence. And we see that when we as individuals, even as believers, when we associate ourselves and develop strong friendships with other individuals who are not people of character, what will happen if we're not careful is those weaknesses and flaws that we have will be brought to the forefront and will be brought into focus. And maybe in areas where we have been restrained before, the restraints will now fall down. I remember years ago back in Virginia when I was pastoring there and we had the church school. Most of the years I was the principal as well as the pastor and always teaching part-time in the school. But and then helping with the discipline. But one of the things we learned very quickly is if I made a decision and accepted a student into our school that was a rebel, had a rebellious heart, didn't want to be there, within a day or two, magnetically somehow, any other rebel in that school would bond with him. It worked that way. So, I don't know whether there's a special odor, whether it's a special look, a special magnetism. I'm not sure what it is. But you put them in the same room, and just a matter of a day or two, they're together. And what one wouldn't do, the two end up doing. My mother used to say, what one doesn't think up, the other one will, or isn't worth thinking up sometimes. But in this instance, we would see they would gravitate together and feed on each other. And before long, The problem was not just 1 + 1, but it was a problem of multiplication and extrapolation, and it was worse than just 1 + 1. Here is the issue. We need to be aware and take care. Our friends and close associates can influence and can lead us in the way to do evil. Even in maybe if we begin to associate with Christians who are indifferent and careless, it can encourage us to be indifferent and careless as well. In other places, the Bible warns us of this. Proverbs 22, for instance, in verses 24 through 25. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. It says, make no friendship with an angry man, with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Now we understand what I'm saying as far as young people and children are concerned. We understand very clearly that children, you know, can be associated or can be influenced by their associates, and it is difficult. It's bad what can happen when a child begins to run with the wrong crowd. I think we fail to realize that that principle doesn't all of a sudden stop being a true principle when you get to be 21 and are now an adult. That principle goes with us. Verse 7 of Galatians 5. Paul is speaking to the Galatians. He said, you did run well. They were doing good as far as Christians were concerned. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Somewhere, he said, the power of an evil influence came to bear in your life. And you're not going the way you ought to. For our children, for ourselves, I think we have a great responsibility. For our children, those of you who have children at home, have a responsibility to know who your children's friends are. Even in the day of internet and Facebook and all of those things, you have a responsibility. That sounds pretty old-fashioned. So be it. We have a responsibility to help them in choosing their friends. And I think there is a time, and we need to exercise this carefully, but there may come a time when we need to exercise authority in this area of friendships. Because we know it to be true. Iron sharpeneth iron. And there is a power of an evil influence. Now, keep in mind, we are accountable for our actions. We cannot say, so-and-so made me do it. But part of that responsibility is to make wise choices and not risk ourselves to danger by having evil associates and friends. And we can't dwell on that forever. I think we should look at the positive side as well. Iron sharpens iron. And there is the power of influence for good. Two godly individuals working side by side, their characters and values can support one another and uphold each other in the work of the Lord. I think that's largely why Jesus sent his disciples out in discipleship and evangelism 2 by 2. He sent them out that way, I think largely, so that they would uplift one another. If maybe I'm down and my partner's up, he can lift me up. And maybe if he's down and I'm up, he can lift me up. And we encourage and strengthen one another. The power of a positive influence. And we see examples throughout the Word of God. And I'll move through these quickly. In the book of Titus, we find this power, I think, demonstrated as the Lord instructs us how we might exercise some of this influence. Verse number 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, etc. Here you've got the example of iron sharpening iron. The mature Christian women being a godly example, it says they're teaching. And if you'll notice, the way they're teaching is by the way they're living in verses 4 and 5. So that they might, or rather in verses 3 and 4, they're teaching by their lives and their examples how the younger women might learn the godly character that they'd have them demonstrate. Iron sharpening iron. One's encouraging the other. Verse 6, young men, likewise. We could stop right there and that would give us a discussion. The same principle bears for the young men. That they should seek out godly senior men who have an example of sober-mindedness and godliness, verse number 7, in all things showing themselves a pattern of good works. The example, iron sharpens iron. Here we're not primarily speaking of someone preaching or someone standing behind a lectern and teaching. I think primarily we're speaking about in this text the example and the image of godliness in both instances and of iron sharpening iron, a positive influence, encouraging and uplifting, bringing out the Christ-honoring strong character traits and godliness that God would want us to demonstrate. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, it is speaking in the relationship of the home. And it's speaking in this passage about women who now maybe have gotten saved after they were married and whose husbands do not know the Lord as their Savior. And it speaks about the power of a godly influence here in 1 Peter chapter 3. And verses 1 and 2, likewise, you wives, it speaks about submission unto your own husbands. And it says, subjection to your own husbands. And here's the key part, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the godly lifestyle of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Here's the power of a godly influence. A wife, because of her godliness. Now here it's not talking about her ability to preach a great sermon. It's talking about her ability to walk a great walk with God. And by walking that great walk without the sermon, able to win her husband to the Lord Jesus. Another example in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. We more frequently turn to verse number 25. And it speaks about the need to attend church and not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together. But listen to what verse 24 says. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. It was interesting. I looked up the word provoke on this instance. And the suggestion that I have given to me in the different places I've looked was stir up. And let us consider one another to stir up unto love and to good works. What was it that Jezebel did to Ahab? He stirred him up. And she stirred him up to evil works. Here's the other side of that equation. Let us consider one another to stir each other up unto love and good works in the Lord Jesus. The power of a positive influence The Bible shares it about Timothy and the influence of his mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois. And that's given to us in Acts 16, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 3. We see the possibility. And so we're encouraged and challenged to establish positive friendships and associations with those who might build you up and stir you up in your desire to serve God and walk with the Lord. Now, I think we could ask ourselves, what kind of people do I find myself gravitating to or toward? Well, that's going to make a great difference. If you find yourself gravitating toward those who have a questionable reputation and character, that does not bode well. But if you find yourselves drawn to people who love God and serve the Lord and are faithful and can sharpen the iron of character and godliness in your life, be a good example. Boy, that's positive and uplifting. We need to be good examples. You and I need to strive. I read of Paul as he speaks to, I think it was the Ephesian and the Philippian Christians. And I'm paraphrasing, I can't remember the exact reference. He said, I want you to walk as you've seen me walk. Boy, whew. That's an extraordinary statement. It's a little scary too. But that's where we need to be driving. So that we can be that kind of people, so that some young Christian can look at us and say, I want to be just like Bill Hinkle is. Isn't that a challenge, Brother Bill? Ooh. I think of some of my Well, let's call them shortcomings today. Let's be gracious. I'm thinking, I don't think it'd be a good idea for everybody to be just like me. No, but that's the idea here. I need to be the kind of person, I need to strive to be the kind of person that people could look at me and say, I want to be just like him. And so, in closing, iron sharpens iron. There is a great power of influence for evil and for good. Being a good example, avoid close, intimate associations with those who by their very character and example pull you down. Those that could drag you down and stir you up to turn from God. And choose, deliberately choose, those who would stir you up to follow God and His way. That's what I wanted to share today. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus. Several things come to my mind today. And Lord, as we've looked at this, it first of all, it contains a warning. And then it contains a challenge. May we take heed of the warning and may we rise to the challenge. And may we be the kind of iron that we ought to be, that we might sharpen other men and women, that they might serve the Lord with a greater fervency, commitment to God. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our young people. It is true that some of these things are more dramatically seen in their lives. Lord, that we as parents and friends and would help them to choose good friends and to avoid those that would drag them down. Now, dear Father, for those here that do not know the Savior today, we pray that if there are those that they would surrender to you and come to Christ this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your song books. Brother Brian chose a very good song to open with today, and I'd like to close with it as well. 393. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. 393. And we'll stand together and sing today. Brother Brian has prepared for us the elements for the Lord's Supper. And in just a moment, we'll participate in that. And this is a good time to begin to search your hearts already to make sure that we're worthy of joining in communion with our Savior today. Let's stand together. 393, take my life and let it be. On the first,
take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy.